everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy on the other side of the glass. Tom, I hope we don't hit 100 degrees like we did in kind of that, do you recall last year that fluke? We just barely touched it at for like it was 5 minutes or something.
And then we didn't see it again for two or three weeks, something
like
that? But
that was like, as I recall, a year ago yesterday. And I said, oh, it's too early for 100 degrees. And it turns out the average now, at least since like 1980, is May 12th. But if you go back to when we first started keeping records, like 1905 or something, it's like May 28th. So obviously things getting warmer.
When you look at the weather map, when you look at the weather map, you have this high pressure that's moving over us that's in between two low pressure systems. So this little guy, this little high pressure guy is just muscling right in. I'm going to get to that 100 degrees Sunday, and then I'm going to leave.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen. And they're having really warm weather in California, which is not good because of all the snowpack, you know. So I mean, we're glad we had the snowpack, but we don't need the big floods. All right, Buckmaster, on a Thursday, it's April 27th, 2023. This radio station and our show, well, not the station, but the show is now in its 13th year. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on the Bustos, the growing Bustos Media campus with five radio stations now here in Tucson. This radio station, KVOI 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. You can get the live feed there. And of course, KVOI.com has the live stream as well. When we do our telephone interviews, that is sponsored by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome back to the show the Ward 3 Democrat Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks.
Great to see you. The last time you were with us, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks ago, you were leaving the show to go to a very important doctor appointment to give you an update on hopefully the cancer did not come back, the throat cancer. How are you doing now?
I am doing so good. And that appointment found 100% no cancer.
Wow.
Which is another good milestone. I'm in a very high percentage of not getting the cancer again. This HPV-caused cancer in men and women, it's really rough. We have really great treatments. And if you can get through the treatment, you have really good chances. So
there was just something about this in the paper about a week ago, and I was thinking about you. Again, explain what someone should do if they suspect that they have had issues in the past with the
HPV?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, for women, they should have their regular gynecological checkups.
Okay.
That's where the cancer will affect us. For men, it's neck and throat and anal cancer that's a result of this HPV virus that we had when we were younger.
Hmm.
If you're up to the age 45, you should investigate getting the vaccine. It's the one cancer that we have a vaccination against.
Wow.
And it's has very little impact on most people, and it will prevent such a horrible thing happening to your body. So if you notice anything in your throat or neck or that other place, check with your doctor as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I was caught early because I had lymph nodes that swole.
Yeah.
And that can be caused by all sorts of relatively innocent things. In my case, it was cancer. So be mindful and check.
Last summer, last July, I just like suddenly lost my voice. I had laryngitis and couldn't go on the radio for, I think it was about a week. And I went to the ear, nose, and throat guy. And there's a really, it's pretty simple procedure. You kind of deadens your nose, and then they stick a tube, very little thin little tube, through your nose. It kind of snakes down and looked at, you know, my vocal cords.
Yeah.
And luckily, they didn't see any problems there. They were, you know, just a little bit swollen from a from who knows what, but it wasn't, they didn't see any kind of cancer, which was wonderful news. But it's kind of something maybe people should keep in mind, that that test is available for everybody and it's not invasive at all.
No, you recover from it very quickly once the numbing goes away. That's what they used to confirm my cancer, and that's what they continue to use on my regular checkups to see that nothing else is happening.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well. And so it's been how many years since you were diagnosed?
I was diagnosed about a year ago, late spring.
Wow. Yeah. All right. This special election for Prop 412, I mean, I've been in town, as they say, I didn't get off the bus yesterday, many years. I've never seen such interest in a special election. This is the May 16th special election. It's entirely a vote by mail in the city of Tucson. There's a lot of confusion, Kevin Dahl, about this. We tried to clarify some things when we had Councilman Kasacek spent pretty much the whole hour with us, us being Kurt Prendergast, the opinion one-time opinion page editor, who was just sitting there as my guest on Friday, and we were interviewing Steve Kasacek, and then I get the news Monday that Kurt's been fired at the Arizona Daily Star along with a bunch of other people. So
yeah, it's a horrible thing really that's happened. Sad. 25% of the news staff.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. For a town of this size, we need a good daily paper.
We do, and Kurt was so excited about everything he'd been doing with the opinion page. He was so happy. He was getting so much comments about this special election. And then when I hear that news Monday that he's been shown the door, it made me quite angry, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's a shame to see a fellow journalist get the axe like that. Anyway, we talked with Kasacek, and Steve is really, as far as I can tell, the most openly questioning on this proposition. And he said that unless Tucson Electric Power did put some more money into sustainable energy, he was going to vote no. And I don't know if TEP's changed their mind or whatever, but why do you think this is a good thing?
Well, I voted for it, and I do strongly support it. Starting from the beginning, it's a franchise agreement. It's a rental agreement the city has with this utility, and we have them with all the utilities, so that they can use our properties and easements to provide utility service to our residents. We're currently under one, and have been for 20, 21 years, that's almost the same as this. It's a lot of legal language, but it sets out so much stuff and how we collect a franchise fee in exchange for this allowing them to use our properties. What makes this one different is two things. We're having a problem trying to enforce the gateway
ordinance
that requires all utilities to underground so that we can keep the site, the beautiful vistas from gateway roads open. Mm-hmm. And TEP has to put in a really large capacity transmission line up Keno and Campbell to get to the university and then beyond. And that Campbell-Keno is a gateway protected corridor. They haven't been able to find, to their satisfaction, a source of funding to do the extra cost of undergrounding. So they talked to the city and we talked to them about including an additional fee on this franchise agreement that would be used to accomplish that undergrounding and other undergroundings that might be required. When I saw that and when my colleagues saw that, we thought, well, we can do more. And we added, because it looked like they didn't need all that money for undergrounding, climate change, which is my top priority.
Yeah, the city had just passed this climate change
action plan. Yes, and the franchise fee, there is a franchise fee that's part of the existing agreement that goes forward, but there's this additional fee that amounts to about $1 a month for a typical residential electric user, a little bit more for businesses, that goes into a fund that's not controlled by the city, but is controlled collaboratively by TEP and the city, by a committee that's composed of two city appointees, two TEP appointees, and one independent person that will allocate that money. TEP wanted to pay off the undergrounding first and then get to climate change. I pointed out, and many people from the climate change community, that we can't wait. So 10% of those funds on an annual basis for the next 10 years goes to the climate change actions.
Mm-hmm.
The rest will be used to pay off the financing for this undergrounding project.
Now, here's where the confusion comes, because the city had just moved forward with the climate action plan, and just the coincidence that this franchise agreement came up at around the same time.
Yeah.
And for folks that don't follow the news as closely as we do, it almost looked like that some people think they're like voting on the city's climate action plan. There's been a lot of confusion about really what they're voting on.
No, the climate action plan has been adopted and will go forward. We have an implementation plan, and it looks like in next year's budget, from various things we currently do and additional things we do, we're going to spend $80 million on climate resiliency projects. And
mm-hmm.
there's hundreds of projects that we need to do. Projects involving electricity and TEP is a subset of that. But it's not a vote on climate change or not climate change, especially since many people in the climate change community have told us that they're going to vote no, that it mm-hmm. doesn't go far enough.
Yes.
They want more.
Yes.
And I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got what we can get.
Okay.
And I think there will be problems if this doesn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
We'll deal with those problems, but if it doesn't pass, and right now it's in the hands of the voters.
The problems would be that it will have to come back.
We'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go back to start round to point zero and start over with some negotiations. Will it still have the undergrounding? Will it still have the climate change? Will it have additional stuff to be determined?
And here's another piece that came up during our conversation with Councilman Kasacek and some of the callers that we had on Friday. People who live in the county, as I do, but were customers of Tucson Electric Power, we received a mailer urging us to vote.
Vote
yes.
Huh.
And so, so people think, well, if you're getting a mailer like that, they were wondering. We had a couple of callers who said, Bill, how come I didn't get my ballot? And I live in the county. They were wondering why they are not, you know, voting on this.
Yeah.
So
that is confusing.
Yes.
And I'm not sure why that happened. The city is not part of any pro or con at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a committee set up by TEP and others to promote passage of it. And they've done mailings, and I bet they'll do some more. Sometimes precincts get a mailing list for a precinct cuts between the city and county.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, this is a city vote, and the franchise fee only applies to rate payers who live in the city. County people are not affected.
Mm-hmm. So if they are going to do that corridor under the underground lines, when might that be if this passes?
TEP has published a timeline,
okay.
And they'll start right away after it passes. Once they know that the funding is assured, then they can go ahead and they'll finance that.
Yeah.
So there, you know, like any huge project, there's all sorts of steps and environmental conditions that have to be met. They have to have mm-hmm. stakeholder involvement, and the residents need to be involved in the planning. So it will take a few years.
All right, let's pause right here with Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl. We're going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery.
Yum.
Yeah, there you go. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is known for their fabulous pastries. Right now, I'm on a almond croissant, deal where I love the croissants, and if they don't have the almond already gone, I'll go with the chocolate croissant or the butter croissant. They're all great. Open right now for lunch, open for breakfast, 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, and they open Sunday at 7. Get there early. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll take a break right here, and we'll be back with more with Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Kevin Dahl is here. Kevin represents the 3rd City of Tucson Ward. He is a Democrat, and we've been talking about the special election. It is known as Proposition 412. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is now open, and Al has taken advantage of our invitation to call at 790-2040. Go ahead, Al. You're with Kevin Dahl.
Well, thank you very much. My comment is, and I have two. One is, if U of A needs the power, why don't they pay for it instead of spreading it all over everybody else? And I work in the one neighborhood that wants the underground lines. Now, I know this isn't politically correct, but if they're so worried about the view, cut down some of the trees and they can see the view. It's a lot bigger than putting up little power lines.
Okay, Al, let's see and hear the reaction from Kevin Dahl. That was a two-part question. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, concerning the University of Arizona paying for bringing upgraded capacity to the university, you know, I tend to agree. I don't think there's any mechanism for that. And they pay for the electricity that's coming to them. By the way, they have a purchase power agreement with TEP where they're entirely on renewable power.
Really?
Yeah. And we saw that, and City of Tucson did, and we're negotiating for the same thing for the City of Tucson. We use a lot of electricity, especially the water department, and that would be more impetus for TEP producing using renewable power. The second part is about neighborhoods. Well, It seems like this is a neighborhood thing, but it's based on the ordinance for the corridor. And that corridor goes through some poor neighborhoods as well as some rich neighborhoods, some treeless neighborhoods as well as, I know the area you're talking about. There's some beautiful old trees.
Yeah.
And that's just why we're doing it. It's not because of those neighborhoods. So people who are objecting to it, you know.
On that basis.
I want undergrounding in my neighborhood. And frankly, maybe everything should be undergrounding.
Yeah.
In some communities that require that, they're much nicer. They're more beautiful than parts of Tucson. But that's not the issue on the ballot.
Yeah. It does, again, you can see how the confusion about this. And Roberta has called us on line two. Roberta, you're with Kevin Dahl. Go ahead.
Thank you. What are some of the climate change plans we're being asked to pay for, and do they include anything for pollution reduction?
Okay, thank you, Roberta. Pollution reduction, and maybe I think part of what you were saying, maybe the climate change should be paying, part of the city's climate change plan should maybe pay for this TEP deal.
Well, what we're proposing is the opposite, is using some of these funds to accomplish the things that we need to do to, our goals are twofold in the city. One, we want to reduce our carbon emission to zero or less, and we want to prepare for the inevitable impacts of climate change. We were already feeling those. Our summers are hotter, our storms are more severe, causing flooding. We'll probably see some stronger winds, which impact us as well. So especially the most vulnerable communities and people need help in maintaining their homes in a cool place. There are so many things our climate action plan has that I would encourage people to look at the website and download it or read it online to see all those things that we're going to do. We're not going to do all of them immediately. We've adopted an implementation plan so that we're going to do in the first year things that have as much impact as possible. And we're going to do things where we have sources of funding. You can't just do this out of nothing. And we don't want to take from police funds or fire department funds or water department funds to do things when we can apply for federal funds and state funds and private grants to accomplish this and do it in partnership with groups as well.
Go ahead.
Some very specific things are listed in the franchise agreement, so you can refer to those to see some of the things. Of course, they involve electricity because TEP is our electric provider, so it makes most sense for ask them to help us with electrifying the bus system, electrifying our buildings. Whenever we can use electricity, we have the option of eventually using renewable sources and not the fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are the huge villains in the carbon production in our country, and we have to get away from fossil fuels.
What about electric vehicles? What part is that playing in the plan? And charging stations?
We need both, and so we're going to electrify our fleet. And as cars wear out, we're on our way for that. We also have some electric buses. The challenge will be some of the big equipment, the garbage trucks and the big work trucks. But we'll get there eventually. We need to change out gas boilers in our buildings so that we're heating and cooling with renewable energy. And we need access to charging stations, especially for people who are in situations like apartments where it wouldn't naturally have. Charging overnight at home is a great way to do it. Also, charging during the daytime when there's solar is great. So if we had parking lots where you're parking in the daytime where you could charge in, you'd be using solar energy to charge your EV. So we want to encourage all of that through incentives and also through some regulation requiring businesses and apartment owners to have some of that charging available for people.
One of the knock has been on the planting of the trees. There's kind of a disconnect that some people see, Kevin Dahl, between a city that is, you know, grappling for our water future with planting trees that obviously need water to survive. How does that work?
We need to deal with how we use water outdoors. 30% of our potable water goes for landscaping, and we need to switch over. People like Brad Lancaster and people who are promoting water harvesting, mm-hmm. That's the wave of the future. We have rainfall. If we collect it and concentrate it, we can grow these trees native trees grow fine on rainwater that's available to them. So we need to plant native trees, and we need to provide the basins and the water works in the landscape so that they're supported by rainwater and stormwater runoff.
All right. I'm going to keep you, actually, if you're okay, with a little bit over the break, Kevin, because
sure.
we've been pretty much devoting all our time to Proposition 412, and there may actually even be another comment, a caller on that, which is fine. But I did want to get a little bit into water with you on the other side of the mid-show break. We've got the CBS network break, and then we've got, if folks love animals, and people know I love animals, especially cats, Monica Dangler is here. She's waiting in the wings with two adorable cats that we will meet at about, we'll meet them in about 10 minutes on the show. I see a picture and I've posted it to Facebook. We're going to meet Winnie and Wednesday, two adorable kittens. So if folks want to take a look at them, the picture is now up on my Facebook page. They're going to be with me in studio at about 20 minutes toward 1 o'clock. But Kevin Dahl will stick around. I've got a couple more questions for him. But right now, we'll take the CBS network break, and then we'll be back with Kevin.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. GreenThingsAZ.com. Their sister business is Zocalo Village. They have that beautiful Talavera pottery and a lot more over at Zocalo Village. Green Things, just a great sponsor. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And as I kind of promoted before the break, Kevin Dahl, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Ward 3, is still with me. And during the break, Kevin, we went out and said hello to Monica Dangler, who's going to be with us in a few minutes. Monica heads up the Pima Animal Control, Pima Animal Care Center, and she does a great job. And she has brought two really adorable kittens.
So cute.
Aren't they cute? We're going to meet, well, you and I have already met. We're going to introduce telephone, audio-wise. I wish people could see their pictures, and they can if they go to my Facebook page, Winnie and Wednesday. You and I both cat people, Kevin Dahl.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Still questions coming in about Proposition 412. Let's take David, who called us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I know the city has little or no control over this. I know Steve Kozoskis is very strong on sustainability, and that's all good. But the problem here in Arizona is we are not addressing the underlying cause of our water issue, and that's unchecked, unrestrained population growth. At the same time, our elected officials have been drumming, putting public service as saying we need to zero scape to save water and to cut back on our water use because, yay, we live in a desert and all that. They've just been rubber stamping these giant housing developments that get ever bigger, ever bigger.
So David's point, I think I've got it. And Kevin, the mixed messaging.
I completely agree with you, David. There's a limited amount of water, and at some point we're going to reach that. And why should we conserve water when we're providing water to new developments, new businesses? And some of the businesses take a lot of water. I'm proposing something, and city staff is looking at it and will come back to us, a process called net zero water development. So a new residential development or a new business has to, before we give them the zoning or whatever they need, has to agree to develop in a way that they put in every possible water conservation measure. And then we figure out how much water that development will be using. Using in-lieu fees, they would have to fund water conservation elsewhere. So low-income homes owners who can't put in the water-saving toilet and washing machine, showerhead, et cetera, could get funding from this source. And the new development would not impact our water resources.
You've talked about that before here on the show, but is it going to move forward?
I think it has to if we want to keep developing, but it'll take a while to figure out all the details.
All right. Before we let you go, and speaking of water, we do need to address, you know, the headline was City Gives Back Central Arizona Project, and people see the headlines. Why in the world would we give any water back? Your reaction?
Well, it's a sophisticated strategy. Most of our water comes from the Central Arizona Project, from the Colorado River, which is under stress, as we all know. We've been doing that for a long time, and we store water in the aquifer in Avra Valley because we bought these huge farms and can do it there. We have 5 years of allocation stored in there. So we're in a good space right now. We're bringing in more than we need. We can use either a little bit of that stored water or just use what we need from the yearly allocation and not give back. We can sell back to whoever is buying it, in this case, the federal government, so they can leave it in the lakes, preventing the tragedy that will be when the lakes is below the hydroelectric power.
So we're not giving it back for free.
No, we're selling it back.
And
in addition, this is going to count towards us if there's any mandatory cutbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to say, well, we did this cutback, so we don't have to do that much at least. We may have to do more cutbacks. It kind of depends on the weather.
All right. My third item that I had on my agenda, I definitely wanted to talk about Prop 412. I wanted to talk about water. On Tuesday on the show, we heard from one of the co-chairs of this group. Yes, I think they're called Yes for Tucson. They want to change the charter that would, well, the ward-only elections. They want to change that.
Yeah, we have an unusual hybrid system, which I experienced in my election. At the ward level, during the primary, you're just running to get the votes from people who live in that ward. It's ward-only. Once you win that election, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, then it's a citywide vote. And so the general election, my campaign had to not just focus on the ward, it had to focus on everybody. I think there's an advantage of that. You know, I feel obliged to serve everybody in the city, which I think everybody in the city council should do regardless. But I spent time going out to all the other wards and hearing the issues during that campaign.
Do you feel that it would be a much more, if you were just elected from your ward, it would be a narrower interest in your obligation, something like that?
It might be. There's advantages to ward only as well. From a candidate standpoint, it would be a lot less expensive, and we could really focus on ward issues during the campaign and afterwards. If they get enough signatures, the voters will decide. I've heard another possibility where we add some more wards. We only have 6 wards, and make it ward only, but add some at general candidate seats as well, so that a few people would run for office for the entire city. That
All
might
right.
be another way to go.
Kevin Dahl, thank you very much for coming in, and appreciate the update on what's going on with a couple of the hot issues. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Good to see you, Bill. Monica Dangler will be with us after the break. She heads up. She's the director at Pima Animal Care Center, and she has Winnie and Wednesday, the kittens, with her, and I'll have them in studio with me right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Silver City, and it is a perfect time of year to go over there. Look at these temperatures. 80, mid-80s over in Silver by Sunday, so then it's going to cool down, upper 70s. Great time of year to do some hiking. Silver City, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for all the info about what to do and where to stay, and even some great places to dine as well. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Monica Dangler is with us, the director of Pima Animal Care Center. Returning to the show, it's been far too long. Monica, great to see you.
So good to see you too, Bill.
And I'm so glad you brought some kittens. Sometimes we bring a dog. And yes, dogs, you've got a lot of dogs, but you've also got a lot of kittens.
Yep, it is kitten season now. So I thought this was the perfect time to bring a couple kittens for you to hang out with. They're over
here
trying to...
We've got Winnie the cat, and we've got Wednesday the cat. Wednesday is black, and Winnie is kind of traditional cat colors.
Yeah, a little blue tabby.
Blue tabby. Oh, yeah. And if folks are curious about what these delightful kittens look like, go to Bill Buckmaster on Facebook or Monica Dangler. And Monica has posted the pictures, and I shared her pictures of these two adorable kittens. How old are the kittens?
Oh, they're probably about 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they came in originally with their mom?
Yeah, they just came in recently with their mom. They've got a couple other brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So they're on a stray hold because they came in as, you know, just found kittens, but they're all very cute and sweet. So they're currently available to reserve them. So animals, any animal at PAC that's waiting on its stray hold, we allow you to put down a deposit. So if they're not reclaimed, then you get them first.
Oh my goodness. Wednesday has, did Winnie jump off the table?
Winnie jumped off, and it looks like Wednesday's about to join.
Oh, okay. You know, well, they're kittens, and I hope they can handle the pretty good jump for a kitten. How are things going this year? What's your overview on how things are going at Pima Animal Care Center?
Yeah, so it's really a lot of the same. We're seeing, it's not necessarily more pets coming in, but we're just seeing the pets leave the shelter slower. So we currently have about 70 to 100 more dogs than we did last year. And last year we had more than the year before. So they're just leaving slower, whether that's to an adoptive home, to a foster home, to a rescue partner. They're just not going quite as quickly. But we've done lots of really great things to try to get those dogs out quicker. We're making some progress, but they're still coming in faster than we can get them out.
And what are some of the things you're doing, some of the vehicles you're using to get animals into beautiful homes?
Yeah, so one of the great new things we just recently got with that we had purchased with capital funds was our outreach vehicles, what we call it. And that will actually be out at the Arizona Bilingual event this weekend. We'll have lots of adoptable dogs, as well as all kinds of other things for you out there. But that's a great opportunity for us to take our animals into areas that are hard to get to to pack, right? So Pima County is a really big county, and not everybody can easily get to us. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of go back to them. So we're really excited we have that to increase our adoptions. We've increased the number of counselors we have, so people don't have to hopefully wait so long. Granted, there's sometimes, you know, Saturdays are a really busy day. You might have to wait a little longer than a Monday, but now you can get in and out really quickly with the amount of staff that we have.
And you do have staff openings. I see there's some really great positions. If someone loves animals,
my goodness, this would be a natural. What are some of the opportunities you have?
Yeah, we've got a few positions. Of course, we have a veterinarian position open, so we'd love to fill that. We've got a couple of those. It's
tough to fill, right?
It's tough to fill. We've got a couple clinic positions. One of them is a really unique position that can be a great opportunity. It's basically a clinic manager position where they're going to be buying and purchasing meds and all the things that we need to run the clinic and helping keep that our clinic running smoothly. The PAT clinic basically serves as a free emergency care clinic. We don't offer free services to the public, but when people have emergencies that they can't afford to take care of their pets, or it's a stray animal hit by car, those guys are all coming to us. So it's all day, every day, emergency hit by cars, animals overheating, you name it, that are coming into the shelter. So that position is critical, that we have all the supplies we need to be able to operate efficiently.
How about cruelty cases? This is, you know, I really hate to bring it up, but it's a very important area. If someone sees an animal in a backyard, maybe tied out on a pole or something, and there's no shade, can they call?
Absolutely. You can call our dispatch line, which would just be our normal number, 724-5900, extension 4, and that goes straight to our dispatch. And then they'll create a call, and it'll go into the queue and be prioritized, just like your police calls.
Yes.
Some things are more emergent than others, but it's against the law to tie out a dog in Pima County. So if you see a dog tied out, that's usually a pretty big deal, especially now with the weather heating up. Especially if they're tied out without shade or access to water. You know, dogs can overheat and succumb to the climate very quickly. So definitely come to us. A lot of times, a lot of the neglect that we see is just, I would call it passive neglect. People just don't know what they can and can't do. They don't know that there's a tie out law. So a lot of times we can just educate them. But other times, we need to remove those animals from the property.
We've been talking about Winnie and Wednesday. They are little kittens that are with me and Monica in studio. Real cute cats. You can see their picture on my Facebook page right now at Bill Buckmaster. But perhaps there are people that don't really want the responsibility of a kitten or a younger cat. How about an older cat, a senior cat that had to be given up for perhaps the owner died and that would make a wonderful companion to fill out that cat's remaining years?
Absolutely. We've got animals, all kinds of animals for all kinds of reasons. So we have something that will fit everyone. So an older cat is always great. You know, cats typically live, 18 plus years. Yeah. So we can get a nice calm cat that's 12 years old and still has a lot more love to give. We always have lots of different animals to offer. And if making that permanent commitment is too much, fostering is also a great way to do it. Our dogs, you can foster for as little as a weekend.
Really? If you want a dog for a weekend, you could accommodate them.
Absolutely. Come on down. That helps us learn about these dogs. A lot of times we don't know anything about how they live in a home because they came to us as strays. So a weekend, a couple weeks, it all works great. Cats, we usually don't do weekends or short terms just because cats need a little bit longer to get used to their environment. But we've got lots of cats that also could benefit from a foster home.
When did you start? You've been on the job how long now?
Oh, gosh.
About 3 years?
About 3 years. I think it was October 2020.
Yeah.
Started right as the interim.
Right in the kind of the pandemic was going on. One of your goals was to really beef up this whole foster program. Mm-hmm. That's been a game changer, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Pima County, we're lucky. Our community really supports us and they come out in force, and it's evident in our foster program. About a third of our animals will go to foster homes, which is so great. We have so many animals, like I said, that come in for emergency care that can then get better in a home as opposed to in a shelter. And then there's this huge amount of animals that come in that we don't know anything about it. So to get just some good background information so we can place them the best way possible is so invaluable. And everybody wants to know, right? You come to adopt a dog, you want to know if it's house trained, is it going to eat your pillows, what kind of naughty things do you have to expect?
Mm-hmm.
We can know those things ahead of time from fosters, all the good, bad, and ugly. So it's great. And, you know, Pima County has one of the largest foster networks in the country for a municipal shelter.
Really?
And there's only a few nonprofit shelters that have a more robust program than we do. So, you know, we're really lucky for the community support.
How many animals can you house there?
In foster?
At Pima Animal Care.
In Pima, it just kind of depends the time of year. You know, we can flex up to about 600 dogs for a really short amount of time,
yeah.
Right? Our ideal number is about 400,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have about 487 as of this morning. So
oh, really?
We're a little bit over.
Yeah.
You know, and then cats, we can house 150 pretty comfortably,
mm-hmm.
and we can flex up to about 250 with cats. Mm-hmm.
It's a great facility. I remember when I was at the dedication of that facility, which seems like only yesterday, but it's probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now already.
It's an amazing facility, and we are so lucky to have the support of the community.
People love love the facility.
It's great.
I want to ask you about one of your goals, and it was a very lofty ambition, because at one point, 60%, the save rate, I think it was around 60 to 70% of animals that you were able to save. You've now been able to get that up to over 90%. That's quite an accomplishment.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, it was, I think about 10 years ago, we were at a 60% live release rate, which means 60% of the animals came in, left.
Yes.
And now we're at about, 91, 92. It kind of fluctuates around, but it's right in that area.
Because some animals, whether they've been hit by a car or a truck, let's face it, they're not going to make it. So, but you really try. If an animal has, let's say, a healthy future ahead, you really want to save that animal.
Absolutely. Our medical clinic does amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. Our behavior team does amazing things to really help. We evaluate each animal to give them the best chance at life. And we're able to put a lot of stuff back together when they come in sick and injured. But at the same time, we are the municipal shelter. So we get all of the things that are broken, all of the things that maybe have some naughty behaviors that not everybody wants. So we're taking all of those in and then finding the best placement for them. And sometimes that's with our rescue partners to give them that more specialized care. And then sometimes it's through our own facilities, right, through the clinic. But yeah, what PAC is able to do compared to other shelters is really short of a miracle. The animals that we haven't been able to save really have been those critically injured animals and those animals that are really needing a really specialized placement to be successful in a home are the ones that we still need to work on.
Well, I'll tell you, Winnie and Wednesday, they have really adapted here to the studio. They are on the floor. They're quite a pair. So if someone's looking, I would suggest, both. Take both Winnie and Wednesday. They're a team. The black one and the tabby. Boy, they're cute. Picture again up at Facebook. I hope someone will come forward and adopt both of these beautiful little kittens. How about the adoption procedure real quickly now?
Very quick and easy. All adoption fees are waived for cats and kittens. It's just free. If you
there
get
you
puppies
go.
Or dogs over 4 months, then there's a $20 licensing fee. But you come in, you sign in to meet with a counselor. They'll tell you whatever we know about those animals, whether it's behavioral or medical. And then you take them home. We try to make it as quick and easy as possible.
Just Google Pima Animal Care, and that's kind of your starting place with all the information about where to go. Monica Dangler from Pima Animal Care Center. Thank you, Monica, and
thank
the great
you for
job you're
me.
Doing. Thank you for bringing Winnie and Wednesday into the show. On behalf of the kittens and Monica and Tom, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.